Well, I'll start by saying welcome to the Valley of the Sun.
Pleasure to be here.
I heard through the grapevine that you've done a radio show.
Well, I did a radio show, but to say I was in radio might be an exaggeration or an embellishment.
But a cellist, right?
Yes.
That was your entree to the arts, was it?
It was. When I was in fifth grade in Brooklyn, I was given the cello as my instrument, and I fell in love with it. And not only did I become a professional cellist and teacher, performer, but I believe that every child should have the opportunity to not only learn the arts, but also participate, whether they're singing, dancing, playing an instrument. It's an important part of a child's development.
I want to ask you, where did you make the jump from being a player and a teacher and a confidant to being an arts administrator? How did that come about?
It came about gradually. I had relocated to Washington, D.C. after I was studying in Paris. The chance to perform in Washington was limited, and it still is to a certain extent. And so I founded my own chamber music society, very modestly patterned after the Chamber Society of Lincoln Center. And I formed my own board of directors. We incorporated it. I co-founded it with a friend of mine, and it became very successful.
So it was through the desire to see things grow. Do you have an achievement that you're most proud of with Washington? You were there 12 years.
In 2012, the president recognized Washington Performing Arts with the National Medal of the Arts. And I like to joke with people that we didn't get that for selling more tickets to go hear Yo-Yo Ma or Wynton Marsalis or Anne-Sophie Mutter. We did it for what we did in the community. We had amazing gospel choirs. We had about 30 different education programs that really impacted the community in a very profound way.
How do you anticipate spending the first year?
Well, Sterling, one thing I've noticed when I interviewed here and in my first 2 weeks on the job is that people have a profound love for this organization, whether they're into the visual arts, performing arts, or both. It occupies a distinct and unique place in the city. So I intend to build on that. I intend to spend a lot of time listening to people because people are passionate about the Cultural Council and the Center and SMOCA and our public art program. So I'm going to be spending, as I said, I call it the three L's, and that's listening, learning, and then leading. So there's nothing broken that needs to be fixed. So I have the luxury of time to listen to all the constituents, you know, the volunteers, the people that we serve throughout the community, the artists. It's a tremendous family of people that really want the best for the city.
I know you're pleased with what you see. You have some beautiful facilities. Coming into a season that you didn't put together, but it sounds like you're all over it.
I was just telling a friend of mine back in D.C. last night that Anne-Sophie Mutter was coming with Yefim Bronfman and Lynn Harold in April to play in an 850-seat hall. He said, Neely, I'm buying a plane ticket right now. Because we used to present all of those artists at the Kennedy Center, which is 2,500 seats. So the chance to experience artistry on such an intimate level and in such a small hall is really a unique experience for people.
Neely Pearl, welcome to the Valley.
Well, thank you for having me.